Broadway's hit crowd pleaser, A Bronx Tale, takes you to the stoops of the Bronx in the 1960s, where a young man is caught between the father he loves and the mob boss he'd love to be. The show comes to Proctor's in Schenectady on Tuesday, the 23rd of October through the 28th. The musical is only the latest incarnation of the story of A Bronx Tale, which began as a one-man play and was adapted for film. Academy Award-nominated actor Chaz Palminteri wrote the play and screenplay and played the gangster Sonny in the film opposite Robert De Niro, who directed the musical, along with Jerry Zaks. Palminteri has had a long career on stage and screen, including his Oscar-nominated turn in Bullets Over Broadway, The Usual Suspects, Analyze This, Modern Family, and dozens more. It is a great pleasure to welcome Chaz Palminteri to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you very much. Good to have me here.
Did you have any idea, as you were doing this as a one-man show, that this even had a possibility of becoming a musical? Was that ever part of the
plan? No, when I first wrote it. No, I first wrote it just to get an agent. I was having trouble in L.A. I ran out of money, and I decided that I needed to do something to really just get my career, just make people notice me. So I said, well, I'll do a one-man show. I'll play all the parts. This way they got to notice me. So I wrote this story about this killing that I saw when I was 9 years old and my relationship with the wise guy who killed the guy, and I didn't identify him, and my father, Lorenzo, who was a bus driver. And I just thought it would be good that the way I grew up, I took the best of my father and the best of the gangster, and I became a man.
What did you learn about yourself, about growing up, about the time that you would spend in the Bronx while writing that story originally and telling it in a theatric form?
I learned that how much that those years of growing up there shaped me, of who I am and what I am and what I believe in. And I grew up with great parents who encouraged me. My father was the one who said the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. And he always encouraged me not to waste my life and to do something with my life, and that life is special. And I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing from a working class guy. You know, he went to school, but he didn't go to college or anything. My mom didn't, but they were just people that wanted their children, because I grew up with two sisters who were very successful, to do fulfill their dreams. And what I grew up and what I learned from the wise guys is how tough life could be, and not to trust anyone, and always keep your cards close to the vest, and that sometimes you think someone is your friend, but they're not. And that when it comes to somebody looking out for themselves, they always will. Some Machiavellian things that I was taught when I was a kid that I still have today.
When you were doing the one-man show, and how long was it a work in progress for you when you were?
It took me about 10 months to write it.
Yeah,
I did it at my theater company. Then when I performed it, Joe, my whole career just exploded. I mean, every writer, director, actor, producer, studio head wanted it. It was the hottest property in the world at the time since Stallone with Rocky. And this was about 15 years later, 16 years later. And I got offered $250,000 after the first week to sell the rights to the play, and I refused because they wanted to put someone else in it, and then they wanted to rewrite it, and I said no. Then I got offered $500,000, then I got offered $1 million and went from $250,000 to $5 million to $1 million. And I still said no with $200 in the bank. And then one day I did the show, and stage manager ran over and said, Robert De Niro's in your dressing room waiting. He just saw the show. And I said, are you kidding? He said, yeah. I walked in the dressing room, and there was De Niro. He loved the show, and he said, that's a movie. What you did was a movie. And I said, yeah. And I told him, that they want to put it. He goes, look, you should play Sonny. You'll be great. You should write it because it's your life. I'll play your father, and I'll direct it. He goes, then we'll go partners. And that's how it happened.
And from that time, you always felt that you were in good hands with him, that it was
yes.
It was the story that you wanted to tell, that was the story that you were telling in the one-man show,
right,
was what was happening
right.
on film.
Hollywood has a way of taking your project and sanitizing it and making it something that it's they think people want to see. I wasn't worried about that. I just told the story from the heart, whether you like it or not. I just said it. So I think that's what made it really work. It was honest. When you see Bronx Tale, it's honest. That's why people really relate to it.
The musical, of course, there's such a relation to it, and yet there is a nostalgic feel with a very strong current of realness and rawness and well, much like real life.
Yeah, and what really made it great. I mean, I wrote the book and the musical too, which made it really which I said I wanted to do, and I did it. And the music was written by the 8-time Academy Award winner, Alan Menken.
Great stuff.
Who's just, you know, brilliant.
The best, yeah.
And Glenn Slater wrote the lyrics, 3-time Tony nominee, and Jerry Zaks, who directed the one-man show, and Robert De Niro, who directed the movie, co-directed it together. Tommy Mottola, the legendary producer, produced it with the Dodgers, who did Jersey Boys. I mean, people see the show and stand up at the end. They cry, they laugh. It's an amazing thing to see. We ran 2 years on Broadway, and now it's on the road in about 40 cities, I think.
And coming to Schenectady, of course. When you think about the longevity on Broadway, a lot of people thought, well, it would come and it would go.
Mm.
And yet you, man, it just stayed and you brought the audiences in again and again and again. And that was just a lovely thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Broadway is you can't fool Broadway audiences. If they don't like it, they're not coming. It's too expensive. And it's too hard. You know, you got to come there, you got to go there, you got to get tickets, you got to park the car. You got to be good. If you're not good, you're gone. I mean, I think there were 14 plays that opened when we did, and then at the end there was only two, you know. So that's it. So unless you're good, you're not going to be there.
And when it opened, and you realize, as you say, you're doing the book, and you're working with much of the creative team that you worked on, on the first show, but did the music just? It was Alan Menken, so it's great. But
yeah.
But did it just make sense for you that it could be a musical?
Yeah.
That you could add music.
Absolutely. You know, a great story is a great story, but the thing that you have to be careful of. When you switch forms like this, one-man show is a one-man show. Then when you did the film, I had to break all the characters down and give them all a life of their own. I, when I did all the characters myself, took snippets of these characters. Now I'm doing the movie, I have to flush out each character and give them a life. Now when you do the musical, that's a whole different form. You just can't do the movie and then add music to it. That's not a musical. That's a movie with music. A musical is something, it's a different art form. It's the most of the dialogue where the drama lies is in the song. The scene sets up the song. So it's a whole different way of writing, you know, but it's when it works and it's right, like in Bronx Tale, it's the most astounding, dramatic thing there is. I mean, it's just like you have this great scene, and then you're about to, all of a sudden it takes it to another level, and it's this great song, takes it to another level of emotion. And that's what Bronx Tale is.
I remember the great comedian Alan King telling the story about bringing his mother to see Fiddler on the Roof. And he's sitting there with his mom, and they're watching the show. And of course, she grew up in Europe and came over to this country. And she's watching the show. And Alan King says, "Ma, what did you think? They're showing the shtetl. They're showing the life in Europe. They're showing the poverty and the strain and the strife." And she said, "It was nice. I just don't remember all the singing." So I asked the question to you,
yes.
that yeah, it's okay, it's your life, but there was a lot of singing? Was there music a part of your life?
Oh, music was a big part of my life. And the beauty about where I grew up in the Bronx, each crew had their own music, where the wise guys had the Frank Sinatra music, the kids had the doo-wop music, the younger guys like myself, the blacks had R&B, Motown, soul music, Sounds of Philadelphia. So each group had their own music. So that's why the score that Alan Menken wrote, he touched on each part of each group, which is pretty astounding.
We are talking to Chas Palminteri. The show is A Bronx Tale, coming to Proctor's in Schenectady Tuesday, October 23rd through the 28th. You can find out more by going to proctors.org, proctors.org. When the show hits and it's on for a long time, and then as it starts to wind down, you become a part of it again.
Yes. Well, Nick Cordero, who played Sonny, I didn't want to play Sonny when we first did it. I thought about it, but then I said, you know what? I want to step back and just write this. I was in the play, I was in the movie, and we found this wonderful actor, singer, Nick Cordero, who got nominated for a Tony in Bullets Over Broadway, and just fantastic, brilliant actor, and wonderful. But then he got a movie, and he was leaving, and we had to cast somebody, and they came to me, and Tommy Mottola said, hey, do you want to do it? And I said, I'm in. Why not? And I did it for, like, I think the last 4 months on Broadway, and it was great. Because ticket sales, we got a big bump, too.
Yeah, and they want to see you.
Yeah, but it was really, and I became the only actor ever to be in the play, the movie, and the Broadway musical. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's really incredible. So when you think about that time on stage and seeing your life, but most importantly, and this could go back to the one-man show, of how people react to your life, how they react to the story. What do you think it is about the story that brought people to such a place?
Well, that's a really great question. I think I read this thing. It was in this book called The Moral Intelligence of Children. And years ago, I bought it for my kids. And I was reading it, and all of a sudden I looked, and there's a chapter of Bronx Tale in it. I was like, what? What? And it was by Dr. Robert Coles. And he talked about it, but he said, because the characters are archetypes, the father, the mother, the gangster, they're like heightened forms of society, like, wow, like, is it better to be loved or feared? These are questions that people go through. It is evil so recognized? Sonny was a bad guy, but he was also a good guy. He actually said the same things to me that my father did. My father was one of the greatest human beings in the world, but he had his flaws, and Sonny had his flaws. So in life, he said that you take the best of the people you meet, and there is not one person who's perfect. And the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. Is like a coming of age, not just for the young boy, but for anybody who feels like, I wish I could have did this with my life, I'm glad I'm doing this with my life.
Yeah.
So I think people just connect with that.
You're talking about the flaws. I was struck in seeing the show on Broadway when there are just these moments where there are gasps in the audience. You know, there's people are, oh, that's where this is going now.
Yes. Well, you always have, as a writer, I always try to stay ahead of the audience. If the audience gets ahead of you, that's not good. That's when they get bored and they start looking at their watch, they start coughing. So the main thing is you just want to stay ahead of them. The worst thing you could ever get is a polite standing ovation. That's the worst thing. My standing, the standing ovations that Bronx Tale got is when the show's over, bam, they jump up. That's because they can't wait to jump up, you know. That's a standing ovation. When two people stand, another person stands, then everybody goes, oh, I got to stand now. You know, that's not a standing ovation.
No, that's
but if you see
weak.
Evan Hansen, they jump up, they stand.
Yeah.
You know, they jump right up. I mean, that's a great play. I saw that play. I thought it was great.
So how does that impact this? Not only, I mean, I could ask this about any aspect of the Bronx Tale story, whether it's a Bronx Tale story, whether it be the one-man show, whether it be the movie or whether it be the musical, of how then does your career path change?
How does my career path change?
In the sense of what you want to do next, or what, or the roles that you're offered,
yeah.
or the opportunities you have as a writer.
More things. I like to do my own things that I write, or things that I really feel passionate about. I just don't want to do. I've been this way for the past few years, but I work in movies and television of things that I like to do. you know, I'm okay financially. I'm doing all right. I just want to do things I love to do. I want to write more, too. The more I write, the more I'm happy.
Do you have more personal stories, do you think, to tell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think my best work hasn't come out yet. I'm writing a play now I'm a member of the Actors Studio that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea, I think, is obviously in telling that story, but ultimately to find a universal story.
You know what, Joe? You don't look for a universal story. That's like a thing that you can't do that. You can't. If you try to do that, you'll fail, and you'll write something that you think people want to hear. The best way to write is just something from the heart and hope that other people connect with it.
Well, right. I've heard it described as, you know, you don't sit down and say, I'm going to write something brilliant. You
right.
write something, and then hopefully people find it brilliant.
Sometimes they see a movie, people see a movie, then they see another movie, and they say, oh, I'm going to write something like that. To me, that never works out. You know, I write what I feel. You know, I listen to the people. I listen to talk radio a lot, and I hear what the people are saying. It's nice to be on top of those things before it happens, and you go, wow, that's a good idea. I didn't know that, you know. And then you just get a feeling. I have a sense of writing things that are bigger than myself, that are bigger than me, and I don't know, you know.
When it comes to the musical and these incredible songs and the incredible, the entire production. Now, when the show closed in June, now it's on the road.
Yeah.
What, you oversee all of that? You want to be a part of all of that?
Yes. You know, I'm one of the overseers. I'm not the final word, of course. But, you know, if I see something that's not right, I bring it up and we talk about it.
And when you bring it on the road and you bring it to other places, I assume, I mean, we were talking about it being universal, but I mean, this is a story, it's a Bronx tale. Obviously, that has a resonance when it's playing on Broadway in New York City, but it has a resonance here in Schenectady. It'll have a resonance when it plays the Fox in Atlanta. It'll have a resonance when it plays Kansas City.
Right. Bronx Tale is one of the biggest hits, you know where? Japan.
Japan.
Japan. Now, you tell me, how did that happen? I don't know. Japan loves a Bronx. The movie loved a Bronx Tale. Loves it. Just, I mean, I'm telling you, it's the most amazing thing when I meet people from Japan who see me in the street. It's like I'm Elvis or something. It's like scary. But, you know, it just connects everywhere. And it connects all ages. People bring their children, 12, 13 years old, because they see the message that it gives. Don't waste your life. Do something with your life. Stay in school. If you have a talent, use it. And it connects with people in their 80s and 90s who just remember the old time. And it doesn't have to, and it's not white. It's white, black, Asian, Latin. Everyone says, oh, that, yeah, I grew up like that. I had a guy like Sonny. Yeah, yeah. Sonny, I knew a guy, you know, everybody. It doesn't matter. I don't know how I did it. I don't. And I'm being not false, you know, not false humility here. I just wrote a story from my heart. And whatever I did, I wrote lightning in a bottle, and it connects with everyone. And I'm happy I did.
Absolutely. You said it took you 10 months to write. In that process, is it just working out the language and the characters?
Because I was playing all the parts, I had to work on the characters. How could I have three or four people talking at once, and you had to know who was talking and not be confused? So that had to be worked out, and I had to rehearse a lot because I did it all with accents and mannerisms and lights and sound. So that took a while.
But and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming that those characters are ultimately inside you already. In the sense of you're writing them,
yes.
But they're already a part of you.
Absolutely. Yes. Some actors work from the outside in. Some work from the inside out. I happen to work from the inside out. You know, when I have that thing inside of me, when I know, when I hear his voice, and then I could go the other way. Like De Niro, who certain actors work from the outside in. Bob works from the outside in. Like he used to say, well, when I find out the shoes that the character wears, then I kind of sense I know who he is. He works the other way. I work this way. Mm. You know, some actors put on masks. Some actors, like myself, take off masks.
Mm.
You see, so there's a difference.
And I would think, though, in a story that's personal and a story that is about you and is about your father and is about your upbringing and about the people who are close around you, it would almost have to be from the inside out.
Yeah. Yeah, it don't have to be, but for me it is, yes.
Yeah.
I work, there's a piece of each person I do inside of me. And I connect with it organically, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's part of why I do what I do. You know, God has, you know, humbly given me that gift, and I say thank you, and I accept it, and I work on it.
So, final question: you do the one man show, you do the movie, musical, you star in the musical. Now the show is out touring the country. Just as an audience member, and you sit back and you're watching one of these performances. Does it still strike you? Do you still have those moments where you're like, oh, wow, this isn't an out-of-body experience to see that up there?
Not as much anymore, but there are times I could be sitting there. Like I was when I was doing the musical on stage, and it wasn't even a scene I was in. I just happened to be sitting, waiting, listening in my dressing room, and the scene was with Robert Blake. Richard Blake, who plays Lorenzo, my father,
yeah,
and the young boy, Frankie, I forgot his last name.
Cordero, is it?
No, that's the young boy. Oh, God, I can't think of who was his last name, who was just terrific. And all of a sudden, they were doing the scene of the working man's a sucker, and he slaps him, and I was back.
Yeah.
I was right back there. It was like weird. And I started to tear up in my eyes. And then I knew I had to go on stage soon, so I just let it go away. But it was like really strange. Like while I was doing it after all these years, I don't know. It just happened. I just thought of my dad, you know. It was kind
of
weird.
And of course, there are people in the audience who are having a very similar experience. Yes.
Everyone at the end of this show cries. Yeah. I mean, they feel it. It's something. They're laughing in 1 minute. You know, I always tell this thing that Alfred Hitchcock, who I admired so much, used to say there's only three things you could do to an audience. And if you do two out of three, you're doing great. He says you can make them laugh, you can make them cry, or you could scare them. That's it. Can't do nothing else. And in Bronx Tale, we do all three.
Yeah.
We do all three. So people leave the theater, and you know what they do, Joe? They buy tickets again to see it again.
Right.
And I say that humbly. I'm telling you, it's a show that you cannot miss. You will never forget it the rest of your life. It'll be, bring your kids, bring your parents. It's a show that you'll remember for the rest of your life. A night in the theater you'll never forget.
A Bronx Tale is at Proctor's Theater, October 23rd through the 28th. You can find out more information by going to proctors.org, proctors.org, A Bronx Tale coming to Proctors in Schenectady, October 23rd through the 28th. Chaz Palminteri, thank you very much for sharing with us. What a delight to have you here in the studio and for sharing with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Again, more information at proctors.org, A Bronx Tale coming to Schenectady. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.